Well, good morning and welcome to Grace Church on the first of our special offering Sundays. We're going to be carrying on our series called Different Worship and working through the passages that we know as the Sermon on the Mount from the book of Matthew in the New Testament, from Matthew 5 right through to Matthew 7. And where we get to this week is Matthew chapter 6, so we've done 5 and now we're on to that next section. And this morning we're going to be talking about being different in giving, or different in giving and spending, and see what Jesus says to us about our money and about our giving. And we're going to work through that. So we felt it was the right time as well as a church to take a special offering. There's many things we do, and we'll talk more about that later on. But all the good things that Grace Church does is in essence paid for by the members and the people that come to Grace Church and give sacrificially. And there's many things that we want to do. And so we just wanted to give the opportunity this morning to talk into that, to preach the Bible as well. And hopefully by the end this morning, you'll see that there are many good things we can do together through our giving and through this offering, which we're going to be doing this week and then in 2 weeks' time as well. As we continue through the passage, it fits quite neatly that Jesus is talking on giving. And then next week he's talking about prayer and fasting. And then the next week he's talking about our treasure in heaven again. And so we'll build on that as we go. But anyway, let's read the passage together. It's Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Words will be on the screen as well, but I'll read it to you. So it says this: be careful. So this is Jesus talking to the crowds again. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees in what is done in secret will reward you. And so what I thought would be good is just to take this. It's only 4 verses, so we'll take them a kind of verse at a time. And I've got 4, maybe 5 points this morning as we work through it. So the first point I want to say is practice righteousness. Jesus talks about practicing your righteousness. What does that mean? Well, verse 1 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So he's continuing his sermon here, and he's talking about righteousness. He's talked a lot about it already in previous verses. And what he's equating here is that our giving is part of being righteous. And he's saying, you know, this is how you should do it. And don't do it like that. Do it like this. And there's actually through this chapter in chapter 6, there's 3 different things that Jesus says. And so we'll get to the other ones, but I'll just mention them here. So in Matthew 6:2, he says, so when you give to the needy, there's an assumption that we will do that. We will give. So he says when. And then in Matthew 6, verse 5, which we'll look at next week, says, and when you pray. And then in Matthew 6:16, and when you fast. And so Jesus is basically saying, you know, you're going to do these things, but there's a way to do them well, and there's a way to not do them well. And then he goes on to say that. And so as Christians, we believe that the Bible teaches us to give to many things. Jesus himself speaks with an expectation that the people of God will give. And in particular here to the needy, to the poor. But it seems that there are some people that he's talking to that are not doing it for the right reasons. So be good to look at some of those reasons and what Jesus says about that, and see if we can learn some things along the way. So secondly, I've said, don't be a hypocrite. Jesus is saying, don't be a hypocrite when you give. Matthew 6, verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. And I don't know how much he's using hyperbole here, but you know, they're literally blowing trumpets as they're coming and doing their giving. And he says, as they do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. You see, the Pharisees who he was aiming this at, basically they were giving for the wrong reason. They were giving because they wanted people to see what they were doing. So let's have a look at what are some of the ways that we might find ourselves giving. Well, you could give through a sense of legalism. And what do we mean by that? It's like we're trying to put God in our debt. And so what we're saying is, well, look, if I give this, then surely God will love me, or surely God will bless me, or surely God will owe me something. And so there's a temptation to say, well, look, I must give 10% of my earnings every week. And in other passages, we see that Jesus accuses the Pharisees of even tithing out of their herb cupboard. You know, he's giving their mint and their dill and their time. And they were so legalistic about it that they were taking a tenth of everything and saying, well, I'm going to give that because that's the right thing to do. But they weren't doing it for the right reasons. They were doing it to look good or to fulfill something. And in essence, to try and put God in their debt. And there's always that temptation is that we can look at our money and think, well, you know, this is mine. And if I'm going to give it to God, then I want something back for it. And so Jesus kind of says, don't be a hypocrite. Don't look at it like that. And, you know, when we give to God, everything that we have is already his. The Bible says it in the Psalms, you know, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We are his. We are his possession. And so everything that we have, everything that we give has first come from him. And so actually it's not so much about what we give, but what we keep and what we do with what we keep and the attitude of our heart as we do that. Do we see God as a giver or a taker? Do we look at our lives and say, look what God has given me, therefore I'm going to just do good with it and I'm going to do what God calls me to do with it? Or do we think God wants my money, God wants to take it, okay, I'll give it to him. And we'll come back to that a little bit later. The other thing we could do is feel guilty about things. So perhaps sometimes we can maybe pay penance and perhaps, you know, try and appease some kind of guilt and or pay, if you like, to cover something bad that we've done. And again, the Bible doesn't know anything of that. And we need to avoid thinking that anything that we do with our money in somehow, again, brings God into our debt or clears some debt that we have. And, you know, there is a way that our debt can be cleared with God. We do have a debt because of sin. And we'll talk about that later. And that's through the person and work of Jesus. And so that's two ways that we could give in the wrong way. The other one is pride. And clearly there was some pride going on here that Jesus was trying to stamp out. And he says to him to impress or feel better than others. And you can see that Jesus uses this ridiculous example of them giving with trumpets in order to show how good they were. And, you know, we can kind of laugh at that. And you can imagine, you know, someone coming along, imagine giving in the offering this morning and blowing your trumpet first and putting your money in the pot. It's just ridiculous. And yet, actually, sometimes, and I say this from personal experience, there have been moments when I've been generous, but I've done it knowing people are watching. I've done it fully aware that that people might think well of me. And you know what? That passage there is saying that actually, I've lost my reward in heaven for that act, because actually I've received some honor here because my motivation was wrong. My heart was in the wrong place. And so we need to be aware of that in ourselves. We're all susceptible to it. But Jesus says, no, don't give for those reasons. They're not good reasons to give. And so God sees us. He says this, that God will reward us when we do this well. So let's have a look at number three. So why should we give? Or how should we give? Well, we should give to glorify God. And so Matthew 6, verses 3 and 4, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. It's almost saying, don't even think about it too much. Don't be aware. Just be generous with what God has given you. And then he says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So this is an interesting passage. And you might be saying, Thomas, the last time you preached, you were talking about being salt and light. And in Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And that would be a legitimate argument. It says, Jesus saying we should let our light shine before others and let people see our good deeds, or actually be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward. Which one is it? And actually, it's both. If we look at it, I've put it on the screen and underlined it, but Jesus says in Matthew 6, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, and here's the motive, to be seen by them. So don't do the thing to be seen. If you do, you'll have no reward. Whereas in Matthew 5:16, Jesus is saying, no, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so what he's saying is allow the deeds to be seen, but not yourself. And so one of the ways you can do that, and just sort of as I was thinking this through, it's like, how do you do that? Well, actually, when we give to the church does wonderful things with it, or it should do, certainly should do. And I know Grace Church, we take everything that's given to us and we steward it well, and we look at how can we bless, how can we disciple people, how can we give to the poor. And you know, when we do that, we do it corporately through everyone's giving. And the people that see that, they say, wow, God is amazing. Because they're not seeing one individual giving. They're just seeing God at work through the church, and they're giving glory to God because of our deeds. And we've seen that with things like fun days that we've done, and all the other kinds of outreach, and just where we've just given stuff away and blessed people. Actually, what happens is God gets the glory. And so we're giving, by giving through the church, we're actually able to do it. Now, it's not the only way to give. There's lots of ways we can give, but it's doing something called obscurity. It's kind of doing good things, but not to be seen, but so that God is seen. And so I think we can do things in the name of Jesus because it gives glory to God, and not worry about whether or not we're getting any glory for it, whether or not we're being recognized. And it's not just giving, it's how we serve, it's how we use our time. There's all kinds of things. And I know this church is full of people that do this. They just bless people all the time. And you know what? They often get no reward for it. No one's aware of it. And maybe one or two people will have seen it. But you know what? God gets the glory for that. And so when we're doing our righteousness in response to God's goodness, actually, we don't need a reward because we've already got it. God has blessed us. And Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. And so we also get a reward when we do that. And when we see God being glorified as a Christian, that is a reward. And I know when I have given, and I've done it anonymously or discreetly, and perhaps being able to see the response of the person who's received something, it just fills my heart with joy, because they just praise God, because often in that moment they've been praying about something, and suddenly perhaps they got a gift, and we've seen, I mean, there's huge generosity in this church. We've seen people give gifts and people, you know, receive those as well, and I know just anecdotally that this happens, and people have been blessed by other church members, and often anonymously. And what do? They give glory to God, which is what God calls us to do, and Jesus says here. And so we don't practice our righteousness to be seen by others, but actually we do allow our good deeds to be seen in the name of Jesus so that he gets the glory. And I think that's what Jesus is saying there in that contrast. And also some ways that Christians should give. So let's have a look at a few things. So give in secret, I've put first, and you know, we've just read that, but when you give to the needy, do you not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing? You know, practice giving in secret. Practice giving in a way that you're not even aware of it yourself to some extent. Obviously, you're aware of it, you're thinking about it, but it's good to give knowing that God is your provider and not making too much of it about yourself. And I think that's something you grow in as you mature. And I can remember early on being challenged in my giving and kind of making a big deal of it, if I'm honest, a bit of pride creeping in there, and actually that's I had to learn through that and go, do you know what, this is just what God gave me anyway, and so let's give in secret where we can. Give in faith. Malachi 3 verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. You know, there is a sense in that where God's saying, test me, and maybe that's faith, maybe that's not. But actually, he's saying, no, look, give faithfully, give in faith that you know I'm your provider. And so when we give, there needs to be a relationship with God to give from, because we know that God has given us everything, that God provides. And there is a sense of testing in this, and sometimes we can go beyond perhaps what we feel comfortable with. And actually, you find God just rewards that, and he just rewards that heart that says, no, God, I trust in you. And I heard an amazing thing from John Piper's church over in America, American preacher, excellent writer and things. And they did a series on giving, and they basically promised their church that if they gave into what they were doing, if by the end of the year they'd come into financial hardship, they would give them back all of their giving. And I'm not proposing we do that. I haven't discussed that one with Joe or anything. But actually what he said was, over that whole year in his church, about 3,000 people gave, and only one person came back to them and said, actually, do you know what? I've had a hard time. They really believe that they could test God in that. And I just want to encourage you. I know that when you step out in faith in this area, and it's not about the amount. It's about the heart that you do it with, the same, you know, this is what I can give, and we can only give what God has given us. And so, you know, if you can only give what you've got, but there is a way to do that sacrificially and to test God, not in a way that we're kind of trying to trick him and say, well, I'll give £1,000 and you better give me 1,500 back. It's not like that, but God meets our needs. It's not that he says he'll bless us with millions of pounds. It's that God says, no, I will always meet your needs. And so when you give sacrificially, when you give faithfully, when you give generously, then I will bless you. I will look after you because I provide everything for you anyway. And so he challenges us to that. Give intentionally. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And so there's a sense in which throughout the Bible, we need to be good stewards of our money. We need to consider it. I mean, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, but also do know where your finances are. Do budget, do be intentional about how you live and how you spend. We just live in a crazy world of materialism and things and stuff and gadgets and Amazon. And it's just so easy to buy stuff with a click now. It's so easy to spend the money that we have and to perhaps take all of our money and say, well, I'll see what I've got left at the end of the month and I'll give that to God. And as you know, God says, no, give of your first fruits. Give before all that other stuff, because if you leave that money there to kind of be spent and then give me what's left over, actually, do you know what? That there's not going to be a lot left over. But actually, when we give out of our first fruits, we give in faith, and then God meets our needs for the rest. And so I just want to encourage you, and perhaps, you know, you've never given to Grace Church before. Perhaps you've been coming along here and you think about, I just want to encourage you into thinking intentionally about how you use your finances, how you give to God to demonstrate a faith and a trust in God for what he has for you and for his sovereignty over your life and his ability to provide for you. And we can be intentional about the things we do. And if I'm honest, this has really challenged me preparing for this preach. I've kind of looked at my life and I've got, do you know what? As I've earned more money, I've just spent more money. And I find myself being tempted, as we all do, just to go, oh, when I've got this pay rise, I can buy that, I can afford this, I can get this. Now, to some extent, it's okay to do that and to receive God's blessing. And he doesn't want us to live in complete poverty or in lack or anything like that. And yet, actually, there are wonderful examples, and we'll look at one later, of people that have chosen that in a sense to say, well, I can just live on this minimum, and if I get more money, I'll just give it. And I found it really challenging reading about some people that have done that, and just myself thinking, actually, how often do I take what God has given me and take what's kind of I give to God, and then I take what's left over, and I go, well, how can I spend this on myself? What can I have? What's going to satisfy me? What is going to make me feel complete? You know, is it the next holiday or a bigger house? And you find yourself daydreaming about things, and it's a good question to ask, you know, what do you daydream about? You know, if you won £1 million tomorrow, what goes through your head about how you'd spend that? It's a good question to ask, just to kind of test where our hearts are at. And so, you know, let's be intentional in the way that we live. Let's look at all the extra stuff we have. You just see how our lives get consumed by all the things that we have. And actually, there is a real benefit sometimes in living with a bit less. And so certainly I'm now considering that, thinking, okay, how am I doing this well? How am I setting an example? How am I glorifying God in that? And just challenge you to think in the same way as well. Let God speak to you about it, you know. And it's not to feel guilty, but it's just saying, God, is there a little tweak in my life that I can make that could actually bring you more glory because I could give a little bit more or do a little bit more for your kingdom with that money instead of something else? So just challenge you with that one. I'm challenged with it, so I wanted to throw it out there for all of us. And then Luke 14, give to those who cannot repay you. Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they might invite you back, so you'll be repaid. Again, looking at motives. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And so there's this sense of actually we're building into an eternal reward. And again, it's a faith thing, believing that God is going to reward us in eternity. And we know he will. The Bible promises that. And actually we can bless the world around us by inviting people into our lives, into our homes, to giving to people that can't repay us. And, you know, sometimes we can be really generous with people that are generous with us. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to have good relationships. We want to do fellowship together. You know, when you have all your friends around for a dinner, that is fellowship. It's not hospitality. Hospitality is when you go out and you invite people that perhaps you wouldn't necessarily want to in yourself. But you want to bless people that can't reward you, that can't repay you. And we want to be a church that is hospitable. And we do that well. Wonderful doing Alpha the other night and just inviting people in and showing hospitality and just wanting nothing back other than people to be blessed. And we want to be like that in our homes as well. We want to bless people that can't repay us and knowing that we get a reward for that. And we don't do it for the reward. We do it because it glorifies God. And actually in that we get a reward as well. And then give generously, not sparingly. So 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, it's just a principle throughout the Bible. And God is a God of abundance. He loves to bless. And he loves to bless faith. He loves to bless generosity. And we want to be a generous people. God is so generous. And when we recognize what he's given us in our salvation, in our redemption, and what I mean by that is our relationship with him and our redemption is that he releases us from sin and guilt and shame and transforms us into the likeness of Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing that, you know, to become a Christian and have your life changed by God. And because our God is generous and he just gives it freely, willingly, and offers it to all. And we can come into that relationship with him. He gives us so much, and we'll look more at that shortly. And so he encourages us to give generously. And he promises us when we give generously and when we sow generously, we'll reap generously. And that doesn't necessarily, it's not prosperity gospel where if you give 1,000, we'll give you 1,500 back. It's not that. It's actually just give. Just give generously and know that God will bless you. And he will probably bless you by being glorified through your giving, and you will feel good for that because God is getting the glory and not you. And that's the way that he blesses that. And he'll meet your needs and he'll take care of you and he'll deal with everything that you need in order to live your life to glorify him. And he does bless. He does bless more than we can imagine. and quite often, actually, he will bless with finances and things like that, especially for people to then use that blessing to then give more of. To bring him more glory. And so he says that, and so we can believe him in that. And it's not a promise that if you give lots you'll get richer. It's that just be generous, and God is generous and will bless you in that. Give in love, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So there is a way, again, looking at the motives of the heart, and where we can give in an unloving way. We give because we're, you know, that's what we should do, and you know, I'm part of the church and all that. And actually, no, we want to give out of our relationship with God. We want to give because we love others. We love God and we love others. You know, the two commandments that Jesus said fulfill the whole law and the prophets is love God and love your neighbour. Who is your neighbour? Everyone that you come into interaction with in your life. And so let's give in a loving way. Let's give in a way that blesses perhaps even those that maybe we don't like or that we consider our enemies. As Joe preached into last week, you know, we can bless people in a way that actually breaks some of the devil's work in their lives and our lives. And so let's be a generous people to those that maybe we consider undeserving. Let's be loving in response to that. Finally on this one, give to the church. So 2 Corinthians 9, just Paul encouraging the church and talking about a season of giving. And he says this, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I mean, he's going back to glorifying God again. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people. So that's something to give to, the needs of the saints or the look of God's people. But it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So it's more than just the giving. There is a thanksgiving that kind of overflows as well, that does some good in the spiritual realm, if you like. Because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's interesting that Paul, throughout the New Testament, I think the whole of the New Testament, all thanks is ever given to God. There's never thanking of people, of Christians, of the church. It's not that. It's not that people aren't honoured and blessed, but actually God, Paul particularly, always thanks God. So whatever the church does, he then thanks God for it because he knows that glory needs to go to God. And so it's the same for us. We don't give in order to get thanks, and we shouldn't go looking for that either. What we do is we give so that God gives thanks or gets thanks, so that thanks is given to God And Paul says that really well in this passage as he's encouraging the Corinthian church. And so it is good to give to the church. It's a good thing to do to give. You know, we've got a good leadership here. I'm part of it. And we want to use the money well and wisely and steward it well. And there's loads of things that we want to do to use the money that people give sacrificially in order to bless people, in order to build God's kingdom. And we'll look at some of those things now. So giving towards the mission and work of Grace Church. Well, as I said, we're doing a special offering now. I mean, people give every week, every month, and really generously. And we've been so blessed throughout COVID and things. And that looks after all the different things we do in the church on a kind of week-to-week basis. But there are other things that we want to do above and beyond and advance the kingdom and grow ministries and do more for the poor and invite people into things. And we need to pay for that. And we want to step out in faith. We want to be bold and trust God that he will supply our needs and have faith ourselves. We also want to be a generous church and give in to other ministries and other missions. And so I've got a list of things here that basically we currently do. And so the first one is mission, reaching the lost and serving our communities. I mean, things like Alpha. We had a brilliant Alpha course last Monday, just gone. Just invited people in for the launch night and just such a great evening. And we put on food and puddings and drinks and just had a really good evening. And it all costs money, but it's all paid for by the generosity of the church. But it was a great thing to do. People were blessed by it. And maybe you were on it. I hope you were blessed by it. And we certainly had a good evening. And I was blessed because people enjoyed it. And that was the feedback we got. And so, again, we just see that in the generosity of the church, we were able to give praise to God for people coming along and just having a good time and finding out more about God and his love for them and Jesus and all of that. So we're going to be carrying on with the course. If you want to join, it's not too late. Do sign up, and we'll be doing week one on Monday, so tomorrow as we talk now. So number two, serving the poor. Sorry, I've missed a couple of things there. I mean, Little Bears, I mean, fantastic ministry, just inviting, you know, parents and grandparents and carers just to bring children in and just bless the kids, but also bless the adults as well. We don't want it to just be a toddler group where you turn up and play with your kid. We want people to come in and be blessed, and we want to serve people well. We want to give good cakes. And I know Catherine used to be involved with Little Bears in Bognor, and it was just, you know, it was always about the cake. We've got to have good cakes. We can't go to the shop. We've got to bless people with good quality cakes because we want to be generous. We want to give our time and our effort and our giving to that. And things like fun days that we've done as well, you know, the outreach events. We did the big cinema on the green and all that sort of stuff. And we do that because we want to show people the love and the generosity and the kindness of God through the church. And so these are the kinds of things that we want to be able to do more of. And just running our Sunday mornings as well, you know, running all the different venues and all the different things that we have to do. And we've got staff and things as well. And then serving the poor within the church. We have, you know, the household of faith, as Paul talks about. A lot of our giving will go to support people that are in need, perhaps local community things that need some support. We do things with Compassion, which is a Christian charity that works all around the world with children that are in real poverty. And particularly in the Philippines, we've got hundreds, like I think 270 or something kids that we sponsor as a church. Not actually the church doing that, but you guys at the church, all of us sponsoring children. But we also, as a church, sponsor things like the Child Survival Unit and give to that, which is just a real blessing. And we've been out there and seen it. It's a wonderful thing to see. And then also churches in India that we've worked with, and food bank locally, just blessing the community. Ministries and discipleship, teaching and preaching, freedom in Christ, marriage and pre-marriage course, all the things, just discipleship, student youth work, just training events to better equip us to share the gospel, to teach and preach. And then partnering with others. You've got Commission that we're part of, you know, a big family of churches that are doing things all around the world. We want to contribute towards the mission of that and give generously into it. And we do. And supporting other ministries and churches. And we support a guy called Adrian Holloway, who has a mission called John 3:16. And he just shares the gospel with people. And so we want to support these things as the message of Jesus goes out. And then finally, operations and events. buildings, Connect Festival, New Day, the camp out we did, staff. You know, we've got a whole team of people that make things happen, and we want to release people to be able to preach and teach the gospel. We want to have a ministry team that can go and look after people and do things, and not just in their spare time, as it were, but actually we want people full time for the gospel. And you see this right throughout the Bible, going right back to the Old Testament. The people of Israel, they had a whole tribe of people that basically were supported by the rest. And so the Levi, the tribe of Levi, it was the priests, and basically there were tithes and offerings given to support their ministry so that they could look after the people. And we want to do that as well. And Paul encourages us again to follow that principle into the New Testament. And then finally, we've got this opportunity in Bognor, which is just amazing. If you were at the Vision Focus on Thursday, evening just gone, we talked about this opportunity to come up. This building we've used over the years for loads of different things. And now the people are saying, actually, do you know what? We'd love it if you took this over. And you know, there's a few challenges within that we're praying through, and maybe we've just found out that what's going to be the end result of that. But we were believing God for that. He's just giving us a building so that we can do more, so that we can bless, and that's going to take resources and finance to maintain it, to do it up and things like that. But we believe in God that we can use that to advance the kingdom of God and to bless people more. So what am I saying? We want to be able to dream big for what God is calling us to as a church. And as leaders, we want to step out in faith into those things. And we believe that God will be at work in all of us in this time as we look to what we can do, what we can give, and towards that. And so, you know, I think in terms of a number, I mean, we've given numbers before, we talked about this, and I suppose where we're at in terms of our budget, all the things that we've planned and the stuff going on, we've got Tony joining us on the staff team as well. Have you heard about that? And we want to grow that and do other things as well. We're looking at needing about 80,000. I want to say needing, wanting, believing God for that, to kind of do the things that we're already planning. And so, you know, when you're thinking about your giving, I mean, we're not expecting anyone to give us £80,000, but it's just saying, do you know what, God, we're putting a kind of number there and saying, yeah, we believe in you for that, God. But also believe God to always want to do more. And we've seen that in the past. And so the reason for giving that is just to say that there is an amount that we can see that we could do amazing things with us. So we just want to encourage you to consider it and pray before God and ask God, what is your part in all of this? And I think the main reason for doing all of this is because God is the real giver. God is the one who gives to us. God is the one who's generous. We don't see God as taker. We see God as giver. And when we see him like that, it changes our heart in these things. And so just a few things on God being the real giver. God gives life to all things. In Romans 15, it says that. God gives every good and perfect gift. God gives us forgiveness in Jesus. God gives us healing. God gives us the Holy Spirit. Gives every single one of us his Holy Spirit to come and live in us. And God gives us his one and only Son, Jesus. And so, you know, we are here because God loves us, because God is for us, God has saved us, God is the giver. And he calls us into what he is doing. It's a privilege. It's something we get to be a part of. And it's out of a relationship with Jesus and knowing that he gave his life for us and continues to bless us with all that we have, that he is our provider, that we're able to say, actually, yeah, do you know what, I can give to this. I want to give to this. I want to glorify God. I want to see him glorified. And so as we finish today, I just want to share one more story with you. And it's the story of John Wesley. He was one of the great evangelists of the 18th century, born in 1703. And in 1731, he began to limit his expenses so that he would have more money to give to the poor. And in the first year, his income was £30, which in today's money, maybe we could add three zeros. It's maybe 30,000, you know, a good average salary, if you like. He found that he could live on 28, and so he gave away two. But in the second year, his income actually doubled as his ministry grew and the things he was doing. But he kept his expenses the same, and so he had £32 to give away. Comfortable year's income, and he just gave it away and didn't increase his living. In the third year, his income jumped to £90. And he gave away £62. In his long life, John Wesley's income advanced to as high as £1,400 a year. So maybe think like 1.4 million. You know, the guy was raking it in from all the things he was doing. And I guess probably through writing and ministry and stuff as well. But he rarely let his expenses rise above £30. He said that he seldom had more than £100 in his possession at any time. And it baffled the English tax commissioner so much they investigated him in 1776, insisting that a man of his income must have silver dishes that he was not paying excise tax on. He wrote to them, "I have two silver spoons," because basically what they had to do was pay tax on their silver. That was one of the ways that they did it. So they just assumed he was rich, so therefore he must be hiding all this stuff, and actually investigated him. But he wrote this, he said, "I have two silver spoons at London and two at Bristol. This is all the silver plate I have at present, and I shall not buy any more whilst so many around me want bread." And he died in 1791 at the age of 87. And the only money mentioned in his will were the coins to be found in his pocket and dresser. And so most of the £30,000, which maybe is 30 million, who knows, in today's money, he earned, he'd given away. And this was a man who lived to glorify God in his giving and spending. And I just felt really challenged by this for myself. And I know the joy of what it is to give and to trust God in that. And I just want to encourage you, invite you into that today. We don't want people to give grudgingly or sparingly. We want you to come and do it with joy and cheerfulness. And if you can't do that, be released from it. And just talk to God about it, basically. So here's what we're going to do as we finish. I mean, I'm aware there'll be people here today, you know, you've probably never given, you're probably not even a Christian, you may not know Jesus, and it would be great just to give you an opportunity to come to know him today. And you can do that just by praying a simple prayer with me. You know, the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that he died, God sent his son to die for me and for you, so that our sin could be paid for on the cross. And so we wouldn't have to fulfill the law. We wouldn't have to be righteous in our own strength. But actually the brokenness and the sinfulness in our lives could be paid for, because a holy God needed to have justice for those things that we've done that are wrong, that are unholy. But God makes a way by sending his son Jesus to come and live the life that we couldn't live or should have lived, and then die in our place and pay the price that we should have paid, so that we could come into a relationship with God. And so that's what we're teaching on Alpha. If you want to find out more about that, do come along. But if you, maybe you've heard this a few times, maybe you're at a place now saying, "Do you know what, I want Jesus in my life." Well, I would love for us to pray together right now, and you can pray a prayer in your own heart. So let's do that, and then we'll just talk about the giving. So Father, I thank you that you first loved us, that you come and save us, that Jesus is your wonderful gift to the world, Lord. You didn't spare your son. You didn't give him sparingly, Lord. You gave him willingly, Lord, to glorify you and to bring us to you for eternity. And so, Jesus, I pray this morning that if there's people here that want to give their life to you, Lord, that they'll just make a prayer of confession for the sin in their life, Lord, to say sorry to you for the things that we've done that we shouldn't have, and to invite you into our lives, Jesus. Will you come and be Lord of our lives, Lord, so that we can live for you and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that today, then it's just wonderful. And do share that with one of your leaders. And we'd love to talk to you a little bit more about what next steps you can take with that. And then for the rest of us, what we're going to do, we're going to come back to a time of worship. So if the band would like to come back up in the sights. And what we've got is we've got some slips to fill in, and we've got nice orange buckets so you can see them. It's just because it's a bit different. We can pass these round, and you've got some forms here that you can fill in, as well as a pledge card. So maybe you've come today and you're thinking, yeah, I want to do this, but I wasn't really prepared for this. Or maybe you're thinking, actually, I could do something, but not now, maybe in a few weeks or months' time. We just want to give you an opportunity to make a pledge to that. And, you know, that's between you and God and kind of us as well, because you're going to fill it in and put it in. But if you want to give, then you can do that now, put it in the envelopes. Again, we'll take another one in 2 weeks' time. So if you want to go away and discuss it, pray about it, talk to your family, then, you know, we just love you to do that as well. And we don't want anyone to come grudgingly or not cheerfully in this. We want this to be a willing offering, something that we can celebrate in and just say, God, we want to bless you. We want to glorify you and give into your kingdom and what you're doing. So I'm going to hand back over to your site teams now. And yeah, God bless you. Let me finish by praying. Father, I thank you for your son. I thank you that you love us. And I thank you for this offering, Lord, that we're taking now. Lord, let us have the wisdom and the stewardship to use it well, Lord, for your glory, to build your church and your kingdom. And Lord, we want to glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person that gives and for the generosity that you first gave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.